But first, what exactly is a meme? Susan Blackmore is the person to ask. She's been studying memes since 1995. Blackmore is the author of The Meme Machine and various essays on the subject. She talks to Steve Paulson.
Memes are any kind of information that's copied from person to person or person to book or person to computer. It's all the stuff that makes up culture. Stories, songs, ways of dressing, driving on the left or the right of the road, eating with a knife and fork. I mean, all of the things that we copy. The reason that there are memes is because they're replicators, the same way that genes are. They are information that is copied with variations, and then not all the variants survive. So they undergo evolution in the same way that genes undergo evolution. That's the fundamental idea behind memetics.
So everything in culture that we copy is a meme?
Yes. Now, you may go, oh, well, that means everything. But actually, not everything in your mind, not everything you do is memetic. You have in your own mind lots of ideas that you make up yourself and are never copied. You didn't get them from anybody else and they never get passed on. For example, you know, you might imagine some beautiful scene or you might remember somewhere you've been. All of that's not a meme. And then there are things that you learn for yourself, by yourself, rather than copying them from someone else. An example is riding a bike. Bikes and the whole idea of riding a bike is memetic because somebody invented bikes and they were copied and they evolved into the kind of bikes we have now. But you have to get on there and your muscles and the motor cortex in your brain has to learn the balancing and the steering and everything else. And that's not a meme. And it's very important if you're going to understand the principles of the way memes work to distinguish between the things that we copy from others, that we learn by copying from others, which only humans can do and other animals can hardly do at all, and all the ordinary kinds of learning for yourself, learning skills and all those kinds of things, which other animals can do too.
Is this a scientific concept? Are you talking about something more than just an idea for how evolution works, more than a kind of a good metaphor for how ideas are passed on to the next generation?
It's not a metaphor. I'll be absolutely clear about that. It's not a metaphor. It is a way of describing the way culture evolves. Is it a scientific idea? Well, it kind of depends what you mean. I mean, it is certainly not a really successful scientific idea. To be that, it would have to lead to testable predictions that have turned out to be more accurate than predictions from other theories, and we certainly are not at that stage. Is it scientific in the sense of being based on scientific theory and potentially testable? Absolutely, yes. It's really just an application of universal Darwinism. Darwin, in the first place, realized something that seems kind of blindingly obvious when you understand it and just so peculiar when you don't, which is that if you take anything and make lots of copies of it and all the copies vary a little bit and then you kill off nearly all the copies so that only a very few or only one survives and then you make copies from that and you just keep doing that, then design must appear out of, well, looks like out of nowhere, it's not, but you know, design will appear, design for function will appear. That's how all of biology works. And the whole concept of memetics is to say exactly that same principle is at work every time. Let's say we record a radio program and lots of people listen to some radio programs and tell their friends to listen to it and, you know, and so on, or it gets copied onto some other station or whatever. And other boring radio programs, well, hardly anyone listens and they never get copied and nobody ever bothers with them again. So it's the same principle, and that is a scientific principle for sure.
So for all practical purposes, you're saying memes are essentially something that humans do. And in fact, you have called us the meme machine.
Yes.
In fact, you even wrote a book with that title. Are you saying that this is a different way of helping us think about what it means to be human?
Yes, absolutely. And I make all these outrageous claims, but some of them have turned out to be right, I think. It is a bit outrageous. But yes, I mean, my idea about human origins is that it was when we became capable of imitation, or our ancestors became capable of imitation, that everything changed. That suddenly we let loose another layer of evolution, a new replicator, a new kind of evolution, which then took us on, if you like, and forced our brains to grow bigger and bigger, to handle more and more memes, putting this pressure on brain size until our brains got so big that women's bodies couldn't give birth to bigger ones.
It sounds like you're actually saying there's kind of a competition between memes and genes. Memes are not
Yes.
just an enhancement of our genetic makeup.
Exactly. And this is where my view of human evolution and of human language and human culture differs from every other kind of theory we have. In the end, all other theories come down to there must be some advantage to the genes. But memetic theory says Yes, but that's only part of the story. Mimetic advantage is competing. There's a co-evolutionary competition, co-adaptation between these two replicators, and a lot of things about humans can only be explained if you can see that it was the memes putting the pressure on rather than the genes.
How so? What can only be explained through mimetic theory?
I'm saying this is my viewpoint. I don't think
many people
would agree with it. But if you take language, for example, I think almost every theory would say that language was an adaptation for the sake of the genes. You know, we needed to communicate, or it was useful to communicate, and so language developed or evolved from tool use or whatever. The mimetic idea is that language began as a parasite and then turned into a symbiont. So it was a parasite in the sense that once people could start imitating sounds, they would imitate them, and the sounds would compete to get copied, and the people would find themselves making the sounds which were, for whatever reason, dependent on the kind of brains, the kind of environment, whatever, became more popular. And then there would be pressure on the brains to get bigger and be able to copy more of those. And of course, supporting a big brain is very expensive from the genes point of view. You've got to build all these neurons, you've got to myelinate them with fatty substances. They use a huge amount of the body's energy. And this is all for a parasite. If I'm really allowed to kind of go a bit wild with speculation, it looks dangerous, that process, to me. And I just wonder whether conceivably other branches of the hominid family may have died out because this was just too much pressure to take. I think of it kind of like many diseases, which begin as being lethal to the people who catch them, but then evolve to be less lethal because it's to their advantage to keep being passed on rather than kill their hosts.
You're saying there's something about this entire mimetic culture that is dangerous? I mean, that actually could endanger the survival of humans, for instance?
Yes, I do, because the whole concept of having evolving replicators is that replicators are selfish. Not selfish in the sense that they have selfish desires, selfish in the sense that they will propagate and get copied whatever way they can without regard to the consequences. So the memes that, in my opinion, pushed us to get big brains and language and religion and all that, they didn't care about the consequences. Now, we've pulled through so far. I would say that our culture and our language and our religions, although that's a dodgy example, but they have co-evolved to the point that we're thriving and we've spread all over the planet. But these selfish replicators don't care what happens next. They can't. They're just information being copied. And I would say that the fact that we are not coping with the threat of global warming, of climate change, of overuse of resources is partially due to this mimetic pressure.
Why would global warming, for instance, be an example of the dangerous nature of mimetics?
Let's just take a simple example. Let's take something like Facebook or even email, if you want to be broader. Now, why have those things succeeded? There were lots and lots and lots of technologies competing in the world 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and most die out and fail, and a few succeed. The ones that succeed are the ones that tap into whatever it is about human brains. And in the case of something like Facebook, it's the desire to tell our friends things, to feel important, to show people pictures of us, status, all of those kind of stuff. So these memes are piggybacking on our biologically given social tendencies. And they don't care what happens. They will go on and on. And the result is more and more people buying equipment, using more electricity, more oil being dug out of the ground, more and more servers. I mean, if you think of the amount of energy that the servers around the world are using to keep us having our internet and our email, it's just expanding very, very fast and looks like it's exponential and will be for some time yet. And all that is driving the oil business and burning coal and all of that. And you think of China, massive, massive increase in technology. I would say it's those memes that are forcing us. We're kind of willingly going along with this. But without those memes, we would be living a much simpler life and we wouldn't be digging up all this oil and coal.
Now, you've described genes as the first replicator and memes as the second replicator, and you've introduced the idea of a third kind of replicator, what you call teams, spelled T-E-M-E. What are teams?
Well, this is really what I was just talking about, only I didn't move on to that name, technological memes. And really, my idea is this. After I wrote The Meme Machine, and I've been thinking about memes a lot, just, sitting there online and thinking, is all this digital information that I'm sending back and forth and is going around the planet to one server to another and being broken up and recombined and sent, is all this more memes or is it something different? And I couldn't really decide until I thought about it this way. And this is why I decided it needs a new name, because it is something different. Memes are habits, skills, stories, whatever, copied from human to human by imitation. But these electronic information, if they were copied by machines without any human intervention, and if all the three processes of copying with variation and selection were all carried out without human intervention by machines, then I think we would be justified in saying that that was a new kind of replicator.
It sounds like you're saying that humans aren't even needed in this process, that these teams have a life of their own.
I'm saying they could have. I think we're kind of on the cusp of this change. I am not sure, because I'm not enough of an expert on what's going on out there in cyberspace, how much information there is now being copied with variation and selection that we never see, because if we don't see it, we wouldn't know. Maybe the first thing we'll know is serious clogging up of capacity that's coming from somewhere that we don't know. But if you just look at basic evolutionary principles, if there is information out there that can get copied, it will get copied, multiple copies, not just viruses set off by humans, but accidental ones that might evolve in various ways out there. There are all kinds of worms and shopping things and, you know, all kinds of bits of software out there which go around gathering stuff, copying it, sending it off to other places. At the moment, there's always some kind of human intervention. You know, it's directed at making humans buy something, or it's because humans want to look at pornography, or there's some kind of human driving force behind it, but it doesn't necessarily have to stay that way. If it doesn't stay that way, then many things could happen. For example, if it got to the point where the machines could actually replicate themselves physically, which we're a long way from at the moment, but people can see how it could be possible, then we could all die off and it would carry on. But that would mean they would have to dig up the oil themselves and find the resources and all of that, which is quite far off. But if we stay around, then we could be, and in a sense we almost are already, kind of slaves to the technology. We're the ones who go and build the oil wells and dig the oil up and build the machines and feed them and spend an awful lot of time every day dealing with memes and teams.
Susan Blackmore is the author of The Meme Machine. She spoke with Steve Paulson.